On Friday morning, while he was shaving, Dave was surprised to see a blemish on his cheek. A small red dot had appeared on his face overnight. He didn't pay it any attention at first, but as he was leaving the house, he thought about it once again, and he went back to the bathroom to check. A pimple? He hadn't had a pimple in years. He got to the front door again and was about to pull it shut behind him when the thought crashed down on him. He was 46 years old. 46-year-olds didn't get pimples. They got skin cancer. He was back in the house in a flash. He found Morley's magnifying makeup mirror. Was that how it happened? You woke up one morning and you had skin cancer? What else could it be? Dave couldn't get the blemish out of his mind. He checked it three times before lunch. He thought about phoning Dr. Freeburg and having her look at it, but what if it was a pimple? He didn't want to risk sitting in his doctor's office and hearing her tell him that. He wished Morley was home so that he could show her, but Morley had taken the kids away for the weekend. Like many men, Dave has a complicated relationship with his body. He inhabits his body the way a nervous traveler settles into a commercial airliner, carefully monitoring every arrhythmia, continually aware that only through a force of his will does he stay in the air. When Dave and Morley got married, Dave's friend Dorothy suggested the minister change the marriage vow for Dave's turn, change it from in sickness and in health to in sickness and remission. Very funny, said Dave. He couldn't help what his mind did with a list of symptoms. The cancer, as he had come to think of it, preyed on his mind all day. By closing time, he decided to treat it symptomatically, like a pimple. Even if it wasn't better by the time Morley got back, he'd go to the doctor. He wasn't going to show it to Morley. She wouldn't take it seriously. Instead, he thought about asking Debbie Anderson about it. Debbie is the girl who came in on Wednesday and Friday nights and had, since he hired her, been his favorite part-timer. She had short blonde hair, an elfish smile, big brown eyes. She went to the University of Toronto. She wanted to be a phys ed teacher. Do you think this is skin cancer? Said Dave in the middle of the afternoon to Debbie Anderson. Debbie looked at Dave and then at the spot on his face, and then she laughed and said, "Oh, yeah. All the skin cancers I've seen started out just like that." At closing time, Dave went to the drugstore and picked up a tube of Clearasil. He headed toward the cash register, and as he did, he looked around to see if he knew anyone in line. He felt like he was buying a pack of condoms, and he wanted to do it privately. He walked around the store to make sure he was safe. His heart froze when he saw the blood pressure chair. It was in the corner at the back of the store. Now, over the years, Dave has had his blood pressure tested on a number of occasions. Dr. Freeburg had always reported a more or less normal reading. But Dave suspected that these normal readings were not an accurate reflection of reality. They were always taken after he'd been left in the waiting room for 20 or 30 minutes. Why shouldn't he be relaxed? He suspected that the normal readings were, in all likelihood, abnormal. Sometimes when he was upset, he felt his blood pounding in his ears. Surely that wasn't normal. He decided his blood pressure was variable and dependent on stimuli beyond his control. He had never had an opportunity to check his theory. That's why the chair terrified him. It was one thing to suspect you had high blood pressure. It was another thing to know it. Dave didn't want his body to know its own blood pressure. He suspected that if his body knew how close it was to making the leap from borderline to hypertense, it would abandon everything else, all the various viruses and bacteria, and launch a frontal assault on his circulatory system. The blood pressure chair looked like a self-service electric chair. There was a slot on the armrest to slip your arm through and a cuff that presumably inflated when you started the machine. Dave was aware that if he sat down and surrendered his arm to the machine, horrible things could happen. Someone who knew him could waltz in as the machine was printing a score. The idea of Dorothy from the bookstore knowing that his diastolic blood pressure was north of 180 horrified Dave. Horrified him more than the implications of the information itself. He knew it didn't make sense, but he felt if no one, including him and his doctor, knew what his blood pressure was, then it didn't count. It was like cheating on a diet. There was a stack of instruction pamphlets besides the machine. Dave slipped one into his pocket. He didn't read it until he was out on the street. And it opened a whole new realm of possibilities, including step-by-step instructions of what he should do if his reading was 0/0. Something even Dave hadn't imagined. He went out to supper, and then instead of going home, he went back to the drugstore and he cruised by the chair the way he had cruised by Rennie Atwater's house when he was a teenage boy and he was hopelessly in love. He felt just the same, oppressed, anxious, hopeful, hopeless. Just thinking about the chair raised his blood pressure. He knew he was doomed. And he also knew that he'd have to try it when there was no possibility of anyone seeing him. He decided that the early morning would be best. The drugstore opened at 9. 2 days later, Dave showed up at 10 minutes before opening time. He waited on the far side of the street. He felt like a bank robber. When they unlocked the doors, he was the first person in the store, and it didn't take him more than a minute to do the test, he figured. He could be in and gone before anyone saw him. So he went right to the chair and rolled up his sleeve and sat down and put his arm through the metal slot and he pushed the large green button that said Begin Test. He felt the rubber cuff inflate and tighten around his forearm. He felt his heart pounding. And then he felt an excruciating pain run down his arm. Jesus, he was having a heart attack. The machine was squeezing him tighter than he thought it should. Surely it shouldn't feel like this. Surely it shouldn't hurt. He tried to pull his arm out of the cuff. It wouldn't come. He pulled again. Still it wouldn't budge. He looked at the black screen. It was like the screen of a bank machine. It began flashing his score in bright red numbers, 130/75. Not bad. Better than he thought. Well within normal limits. Okay, thought Dave, now let me go. But it didn't. It wouldn't. Dave felt panic surge through him. He was trapped in the chair. He pulled again, more recklessly this time. Still nothing. He looked at the screen. His blood pressure had risen to 135/78. He tried to relax. Then he jerked his arm violently, still nothing. Now his blood pressure was 140/80. Borderline hypertense. Oh God, he thought, this is crazy. He tried to calm himself down again. He sat for a full minute without moving, just following his breath in and out. Something had happened to the machine. The rubber cuff wouldn't deflate, and until it deflated, the metal slot which was holding his arm in the chair would not release him. He opened his eyes. Maybe there's a button I'm supposed to push, he thought. Maybe there's a release button somewhere. He couldn't see a release button. He pulled his arm again, still nothing. He didn't know what to do. He was getting claustrophobic. Collect your thoughts, Dave. What's the worst thing that could happen? Somebody could see him. Somebody he knew could see him there. No. No, the store could catch fire. And he sat there wondering if he could stand up and hump his way out of the store with a chair attached to him. He imagined getting as far as the checkout counter and then getting wedged in the aisle by the cash register. He thought of dying of smoke inhalation by the cash register with a blood pressure chair attached to his back. The chair strapped to him like a tortoiseshell. It was the kind of trivial death that Dave's always feared. like being hit by a diaper truck. The kind of death where his friends would gather quietly in some solemn funeral parlor until someone started to giggle. Dave didn't want people giggling at his funeral. He wanted a death with dignity. He began to struggle so violently that the chair started rocking. He heard a man's voice say, "What's going on over there?" Dave looked at the screen. The red numbers were blinking like the clock on a broken VCR, except they were ascending. His blood pressure had sailed through borderline and was now firmly entrenched in hypertense. 160 over 93. Dave looked up and saw Bill Turner, the pharmacist, heading toward him. And to his horror, behind Bill, he saw Debbie Anderson. He felt his heart accelerate. He glanced at the screen, 172 over 90. This was a nightmare. He had the blood pressure of a 75-year-old man. He twisted desperately in the chair and reached for the screen with his left hand, trying to cover the blinking red numbers, the way a man caught outside his house with no clothes on might cover his groin. He felt naked, exposed, humiliated. Debbie and Bill Turner arrived at the chair at the same time. "Hi," said Dave, smiling weakly, still trying to cover the screen. "I'm stuck," said Dave. I can't get my arm out." Bill was staring at Dave as if he had asked him for spare change. "See," he said, rattling his arm, "it won't come out." He could feel the blood pounding in his ears. He felt like he was going to faint. "I'm not going to faint," he said to himself. "Hi, Dave," said Debbie cheerfully. And then she said, "Your nose is bleeding." Dave's left hand involuntarily flew away from the screen. He brought it up to his face, and when he took it away, he saw blood on his fingers. And then everyone turned simultaneously from his red hand to the red numbers blinking on the now uncovered screen. The numbers reminded Dave of the digital displays they have in modern elevators. Sadly, the elevator was going up. The three of them watched the screen blink from 172 up to and through 180. It settled at 181. "Geez, Dave," said Bill Turner, "are you okay?" "I can't get my arm out," said Dave for the third time. Dave felt a drop of blood land in his lap. "I'll get you some Kleenex," said Debbie. The fire department arrived 45 minutes later. By then, Dave's blood pressure had settled at 178 over 95. "Geez," said the fire chief, looking at the screen, "are you okay?" The drugstore had taken on the festive feel of an accident scene. There were about 15 people standing in a circle around the chair. Every few minutes, someone new arrived, and there was a blush of whispering as they asked what was going on. After 20 more minutes of fiddling with the chair, the chief sent a man out to the truck to get the jaws of life. They were going to cut Dave out. "Wait a minute," said Bill Turner. "You're going to wreck the chair." "For God's sake, Bill," said Dave, "I'll pay for the chair. Just get me out of here." It took them 5 minutes. Everyone applauded when Dave stood up. He rubbed his arm carefully and said he was fine, and he looked at his watch and said he had to go. People slapped him on the back as he pushed through the crowd, as if he had won a race or something. Debbie Anderson handed him another Kleenex and said, "I'll see you Wednesday." The red blemish on his face disappeared a week afterwards. He never mentioned it to Morley. Thank you.